I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the hour, we talk with author Ellen Stimson. Her book is Mud Season, How One Woman's Dream of Moving to Vermont, Raising Children, Chickens, and Sheep, and Running the Old Country Store pretty much led to one calamity after another. We'll also preview Coco's production of The Turn of the Screw with director Shauna Flanagan and cast member Josh Routh. But we begin by revisiting an interview we originally did with the 442s last April, which was preempted due to special coverage of the Boston Marathon bombings. The 442s have announced plans to record their first album, and we'll talk more about that later. The 442s are a quartet consisting of St. Louis Symphony musicians, cellist Bjorn Ranheim and violinist Sean Weil, and from the Aaron Bodie Group, double bassist Sid Rodway and guitarist and keyboardist Adam Manis. Together, they explore the boundaries of jazz, classical, folk, and rock. And before we meet the 442s, we begin with their music. That's the 442s, Sid Rodway, Sean Weil, Bjorn Ranheim, and Adam Manis. Welcome to you all.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was really nice, by the way.
Thank you.
And Adam, you're the composer for the 442, so what was that we just heard?
That was a piece called Shibuya. It was written for this great neighborhood in Tokyo that has the best udon noodles that I've ever had.
Do the noodles figure into the composition in some way?
Or? They absolutely do, yeah.
Adam and Sid, you're both with the Aaron Bodie Group, Bjorn and Sean, members of the St. Louis Symphony. So I want to know how this quartet came to be in the beginning, but before we do that, could we just get a little background on each of your musical careers? And Adam, we could begin with you.
Yeah, sure. I've been playing piano around St. Louis, jazz piano around St. Louis since I was a teenager. And in 2001, I moved to New York City and began attending the New School University. And in 2004, I moved back to St. Louis to write and play and be a part of Aaron Bodie's working band. So
you came back for that? That happened after you got here?
I came back for that. She called me, and I wrote my first song for her while I was still living in New York. And then I called her one day and said, if I move back to St. Louis, would I work? And she said, I absolutely will. And so I said, all right, I'm on my way.
Bjorn.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I went to a small music conservatory in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Institute of Music, and then kind of bounced my way around from various orchestras, but actually spent a good deal of time down in the New World Symphony, a training orchestra down in Miami Beach, Florida, which is where I met Sean Weill, actually. We were friends down there and played for a couple of years in Miami. And then we ended up being here in the St. Louis Symphony. So now I'm in my eighth season here with the St. Louis Symphony and just love it. And this project is a lot of fun for us.
We talked to you on Cityscape, I guess it was last fall sometime, when the symphony was collaborating with Circus Flora.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was an amazing show. The Dylan Thomas Child's Christmas in Wales production that we did, which is just amazing. It was such an amazingly visual kind of spectacle. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
And Sean, you're the one person here I've never met before. So
it's very nice to meet you. It's great to be here. I grew up in Chicago, went to school in Indiana at Indiana University, was there for 1.5 degrees, and then moved to Miami Beach, where I met Bjorn, as he mentioned. I went from there back to New York, lived there and freelanced for a year, and at the end of that year, I moved here to St. Louis, and I'm in my 10th season with the symphony.
Yeah, how's that working on Miami Beach? Not bad.
It's a blast.
It was pretty awesome.
It was really great.
We're a lot more tan than we are now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, you're good for St. Louis.
Yeah.
Sid, tell us about yourself.
I got my start in music as a saxophone player. That was my original instrument. I played professionally for about 15 years or so. And then back in 2004, being married to Erin Bodie that very year, she started a new group with Adam, and they didn't have a bass player, and they weren't necessarily looking for a saxophone player. So I decided to buy a bass and try to figure it out and play with them.
You taught yourself, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah, primarily self-taught, you know, picking up things from these guys as time goes on.
Well, you make it look easy, was it?
No, not at all. It was a very odd change. There are lots of blisters involved. But it's a completely different role in the music. You know, the saxophone is pretty flashy. It's out front. It's kind of like, hey, look at me. And, mm-hmm. and bass is the complete opposite. So it was a welcome addition. And I'm really enjoying it now.
Well, you all are such an interesting combination, the 442s. Been working together, I guess, about a year?
Yeah, a little bit over a year now.
With some breaks, stops and starts.
So yeah. how did that all happen to begin with?
I think we all started to get to know each other just from being around the St. Louis music scene. But I had done a little bit of playing with Erin Bodie Group as a cellist. They've been doing some of their awesome tunes with cello and strings. And actually then Sean also got involved with the group that way. And so we all had experience working together. Last year, there was this fantastic album that came out called The Goat Rodeo Sessions, which is Yo-Yo Ma, Stuart Duncan, Edgar Meyer, and Chris Thiele. And it was...
Won a Grammy, I think.
Yeah, it did. It was a Grammy Award-winning album. And it was such an incredible kind of testament to, you know, how you can combine great classical musicians and great, you know, folk musicians like Stuart Duncan, who doesn't even read music. And I think we all kind of heard that and... The genesis somewhere came through the idea of trying to start something like that acoustically.
Yeah, we don't do the same kind of music necessarily, but it's in the same spirit, for sure.
At least inspired by.
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to work? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of times musicians get together to try something out and never really amounts to much besides maybe jam sessions. So did you think it would really turn into
this? No, at first it was definitely like almost a social thing. But the group really started coming together and people started coming to rehearsals, you know, not us. Other people started coming to listen to rehearsals. And so we thought, well, we should maybe take this out. And so we did.
And Sean, I understand you had a little accident that...
I did.
Slowed things down for a little bit?
I threw a wrench in the plan a little bit. I had a freak accident and broke a finger. So I was out for a good part of the season, but yeah. I'm happy to be back and...
How did you guys get by during that time? Did you just...
We didn't really.
Didn't play? Yeah.
We were literally, it was a week before we had about 3 gigs scheduled around St. Louis. So Sean calls up and he's like, I'm going to be out for 8 to 10 weeks. But now he's back and he's stronger than ever. He's bionic now, so he's...
Really built anticipation, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Towards our premiere. Yeah.
That's right. You get people really excited about coming to hear us and then you're like, nope, you got to wait.
Well, I want you to know I did a lot of heavy research before this interview.
Wow.
And I found out that, I guess like any talented group, one thing that brought you together was the love of good food and fine beer. Now, how important was that?
I think very important.
Still is.
One of the most important things of this group is the amount of beer that's...
Yeah. We all are big kind of hop heads, I think you'd say. And we love kind of introducing each other to new and exciting beers from all over the place, all over the world. You know, Adam loves Belgian beers from, you know, Belgium, and I'm a huge IPA fan from Colorado. And
same here.
Sid has his favorites up in Minnesota and some other places.
So this has been an important part of the rehearsal process?
Absolutely. Very much so. Lightens the mood a little bit.
Somewhere along the line, Sid's wife, Erin, started cooking these amazing dinners for our rehearsals. Like last night we rehearsed and it turned into a bit of a dinner party out of nowhere.
Yeah, meatballs and fresh
meatballs.
Bread.
Fantastic.
Great cheese plates.
We didn't get anything done.
No.
So how long do these sessions go on then?
Hours.
Hours and hours.
4 or 5 hours, generally.
Yeah. I mean, for Sean and I mean, we're used to these classical rehearsals where you schedule it in your book and you get there and you rehearse for 2 hours, 3 hours, and then you're out of there. There's not a whole lot of tomfoolery. And, you know, with these guys, it's just, we have a lot of fun and we're just enjoying hanging out, getting to know these tunes and just having a great experience.
Time always seems to fly by when we're rehearsing and just hanging out. So
little beer, food, good music.
Yeah. It's really just a good time, but we enjoy and respect each other's musicality as well.
So you've been performing together for about a year or so. So review this past year for me, the kind of venues you've played and things that you've done and what that's been like for you.
Well, I think, you know, this community has got a lot of great opportunities for music and great listening rooms. A couple of wonderful experiences have been at Cyrano's Cafe in Webster Groves. They've got a fantastic music listening room. And then the newer Tavern of Fine Arts over on Belt Avenue is a fantastic room. And it's great for us because it's wooden and it's small and it's a nice space that we can fill up. So for an acoustic group like ours, I think it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other really fun experiences we had this year was performing as part of the St. Louis Symphony on stage at Powell Hall series. And we did a concert in collaboration with Brian Owens and some other musicians in kind of tribute to Martin Luther King Day and Black History Month. And it was a really fun concert. I mean, that's one where the audience sits on stage facing out towards the house, and we sit there on the lip of the stage playing. And it was a fantastic crowd, a huge group of people, and it was a lot of fun for us to kind of stretch our legs a little bit in a big space like that, mm-hmm. especially after being in smaller venues.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a few highlights, I think.
You know, you guys are really busy all on your own. I mean, two of you are involved in the symphony, the others in the Aaron Bodie group, plus, for example, Bjorn, I know you're part of the Elliott Piano Trio with David Halen and Seth Carlin, and maybe you other guys have other things going on too. So you must be good at time management, or how do you have enough time to do this too?
We don't really. We've been averaging about 2 concerts a month. So far, they've all been on Mondays or Tuesdays or some Thursdays, but we just try to squeeze it in when we can, and it's almost better that way. We tend to have really great crowds. Yeah, I like how it's kind of panned out so far.
Yeah, and it's actually the whole computer program of Google Calendar is an amazing resource for people like us, because we can all go in and input our various obligations and conflicts so that when we're scheduling things, we can make it a little easier on ourselves. But we definitely try to plug in as many things as we can, I think.
And it works out well because our Mondays and Tuesdays are our weekends, and I know for the Aaron Bodie group, they play often on weekends as well, so it's a departure. It doesn't feel like constant work.
Well, that would help. Would you perform another piece for us?
Absolutely. Yeah,
that sounds
great. What would you like to do?
We're going to do a piece I wrote about one of my favorite places in the world, northern Minnesota, the Boundary Waters. Sid and I have recorded 2 albums up there with Aaron Bodie in a cabin on Gunflint Lake. And the name of the resort the cabin's at is called Heston's, and this is called Heston's. Thank you.
That's the 442s. We're talking with Adam Manis, Bjorn Ranheim, Sean Weil, and Sid Rodway. And the 442s, I'm not a musician, so I don't really understand this, but that number refers to tuning in some way. Can you explain that to someone like me?
Well, yeah. So if you come to a symphony orchestra concert and the concertmaster walks on stage and looks at the principal oboist, that oboist plays an A. And that A is actually, for the St. Louis Symphony, it's 442 hertz, which is the frequency, the audio frequency. So we were having a hard time kind of coming up with a name for our group and kind of settled on that, not only because of that significance in tuning of the string instruments, but also because Sid and Aaron, their address is 442. Adam used to have an apartment in New York that was at 442.
West 22nd Street.
Yeah, West 22nd Street. So it seems like it's a theme that keeps coming around, and it made sense at the time. So that's
there
what
are four
we are.
Of us. We're close to 42.
Some closer than
others.
Very
good.
Yeah.
All right. It makes sense to me in some strange way. The way I have to see it is because you do all different types of music, you're really stretching your musical muscle doing this, for want of a better term. So how important is that to each of you individually to play outside your comfort zone, if that's a fair way to put it?
I think it's important for every musician to do this regularly, to kind of play things you're not comfortable playing, and to push yourself and try new things. And that's one of the reasons why we love doing this, I think. I speak for everybody in that, you know, for Sid and I, it's different to work with classical musicians, and we get to use different parts of our musical skill set in that. And I hope that they get to do the same thing.
Absolutely. I remember giving Adam a call. I was sort of in crisis. I felt like I really needed to branch out with my playing, and I thought, you know, the few opportunities I'd had to play with Bjorn and these two guys with the Aaron Bodie group was such a nice departure and a way of expanding on what it is we do. It enhances every aspect of the music-making process, really.
Yeah, Sid, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For me, it's an incredible learning experience to be with these two, especially with their many decades of bow work and just mastery of their instruments. It's like a master class for me every time we get together, and I'm really paying attention.
I think for our turn as well, I mean, playing with two fantastic jazz musicians, I mean, they live in an idiom where they are constantly thinking outside the box and improvising in front of people. That's part of what jazz is. Classical musicians are never taught and very rarely encouraged to do this.
Right.
And so for Sean and I, actually, we do a lot of improvisation during some of these pieces. And it's really, really good for us to do. Not to mention the fact that we are singing in a lot of tunes together, four-part male singing, you know, whistling, doing all kinds of things. So, I mean, we're relying on a lot more, as classical musicians, a lot more skills than we ever use inside the symphony orchestra.
And Adam, as the composer for this group, where are you coming from as far as your inspiration for the music that the four of you do?
Yeah, I'm just trying to use them to sort of hone my composing chops, really. You know, I've written for jazz groups, I've written pop songs, I've written folk songs. But, you know, when you have to take a theme and there's no long improvised section in the middle, you have to really learn how to develop it in a hurry or else the piece is going to fall apart. So that's what I've been focusing on. And I haven't tried to put any sort of, you know, labels or this is what we're going to do and this is not what we're going to do. We're just kind of trying everything right now and throwing everything at the board and seeing what sticks.
Every time we show up for a rehearsal, Adam comes with at least one or two new tunes that are completely different than the last two he's written. And they're equally as good and better all the time. And it's nice because although they're basically finished products when he shows up with them, he still has the flexibility and we are able to give some input. And it's a very much a work in progress.
Well, before you go, we'd love for you to play one more piece.
Sure. This piece is called Chelsea. This is named after the neighborhood I lived in New York at 442 West 22nd Street. Thank you.
That's the 442s, Adam Manis, Bjorn Ranheim, Sean Weil, and Sid Rodway. You guys are really great. And before we go, just real briefly, you all have different musical backgrounds. So after this collaboration, what have you learned from one another? Anybody?
I think just learning to think outside of the box and to constantly push ourselves. And I think, you know, looking at what each other can bring to the table and what we can learn from each of those examples, it's phenomenal. And so I think it's making us all a lot better musicians.
Yeah, I learned what cheese goes best with IPA.
That was our interview with the 442s recorded earlier this year. Well, the group is set to record their first album in December with a planned release this spring. The group launches a Kickstarter campaign with a concert next Tuesday at the Sheldon Concert Hall. And Bjorn Ranheim of the 442s joins us now for an update on what they're doing and what they're going to be doing.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is exciting for you guys as a group. You've been performing, I guess, just about a year, and now you're looking at your first recording.
We are. Yeah, we've actually gotten such great feedback from our audiences over the past year that we'd really like to get all of this great music into a recording studio and onto a recording that we can then share with the greater world.
Well, before we talk about that more, and the whole Kickstarter thing is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Looking back on this last year, you've been very busy, I'd say, for a group that just got together. What are some of the highlights?
We've had so many highlights. One of them has to be the wonderful concert series here at KWMU, the Kitchen Sink series. We had such a great turnout for that and wonderful feedback, and we still hear from people who were there. We also had a great performance at the closing session of the League of American Orchestras conference, which was held here in St. Louis in June. And we got to perform for that and really kind of get our name out there and have some recognition from all kinds of people in the music industry, which was a lot of fun. We also had a very successful concert tour at the end of the summer, actually August into September, of Illinois and Minnesota, and had a great concert up in my hometown of Minneapolis at a neat venue there. So it's been a lot of wonderful highs, and we're looking forward to kind of building on that.
So recording your first album, is that something when you first got together you all knew you wanted to do, or did that take a while?
You know, actually, it wasn't the first thing we thought about. We recorded some tracks just kind of privately on our own, just to kind of get our sound and have a couple ideas on our website. But this has really kind of grown from all of the successes that we had last year. And we just figure that now's the time to kind of push this and see how far we can go.
Well, the whole Kickstarter idea, I guess most people know what that is. You basically put yourself out there and hope that people that like what you do send you money to invest in your project.
Absolutely. I think crowdsourcing is the newest thing in philanthropy. It gives all kinds of people the option to buy into various projects that they believe in and to support them in ways that they can. And so we've actually developed our own Kickstarter campaign that we just launched, and we're really excited about it. It's at, you can go to kickstarter.com and type in the 442s in the search, and you'll find our campaign with a video of us performing and speaking about what we do. And we are offering all kinds of fun rewards for people's donations, all the way up from CDs and digital downloads, up to helping us name some of our unnamed tunes, all the way up to actually commissioning a work written for the donor from Adam Manis.
So you're looking, I think, to raise about $10,000 for the entire project. And that includes everything from studio time and engineering to marketing and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, these things really do cost money. And so we are trying to be as frugal as we can, but trying to put out the best product we can as well.
Well, speaking of the best product, who are you going to be working with on the technical side of it?
Well, on the technical side of it, we're really excited to have Paul Henrich. He works with the St. Louis Symphony in all of our recording work, and he's with Pan Galactic Company. And so we are going to be working with him at the wonderful Shock City Studios here in St. Louis, which is a premier facility, which I think will help us to truly capture our acoustic kind of intimate presence. And we've also been partnering with a wonderful graphic designer, James Walker, who is an adjunct faculty member at Wash U and some other wonderful projects here in St. Louis. And so he's helping us design all of our album artwork and our logo and all kinds of wonderful things that go along with this.
So your Kickstarter kickoff concert is Tuesday at the Sheldon, and then you've got quite a few things scheduled between now and early next year.
Yeah, we really do. Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. at the Sheldon is our big kickoff, and then we've got a bunch of concerts coming up, many at the Tavern of Fine Arts, many at Cyrano's in Webster, and then we're actually doing a fun holiday concert partnering up with Brian Owens, the fantastic soul singer, and Peter Martin, the world-famous jazz pianist. So a lot of really exciting things. And those are all listed on our website as well, which is the 442s.com.
And you've just started a newsletter.
We have. We have recently kind of wanted to find a way to reach out to our audiences that we've met in all of these various places we've played. And so we've started sending out messages, and we are on constant contact for that. So it's a great way to reach out.
You're going all the way. I know there are going to be posters and T-shirts and all things coming
out. There's all kinds of things coming out.
So is there a limit on the Kickstarter campaign? Usually, isn't there a time limit where you have to raise your money by a certain date?
There is, yes. Actually, we've picked the date of November 21st. So it gives us just under a month to raise close to $10,000, which we know is a push, but hopefully by mobilizing all of our friends, family, and fans, we'll get to that limit and maybe even surpass it.
So the 442s begin their Kickstarter campaign with a kickoff concert next Tuesday at the Sheldon. The performance time is 7:30 in the evening. Go to stlpublicradio.org, the Cityscape page. If you want to know more about that, you have your own website, I guess, too. We'll have a link to that.
Yep.
Any ticket information or things we should know?
It's $15 for our Sheldon concert, general admission, so get there early to get a good seat, and you can buy tickets at the Sheldon or via their website.
Bjorn Ranheim from the 442s. Continued success is exciting, and we'll look forward to the release of your first album next spring. Thank you, Bjorn.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Mud Season, and later, The Turn of the Screw. This is St. Louis Public Radio.